Let's pray as we come to think about this passage. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you that it speaks today. By your Spirit, may you open our hearts to hear what you have to say, and help guide my speaking to be your truth. Amen. I wonder if you ever watch things or read things on the internet. Is that some of you? I guess most of you. And there's lots of different social media on the internet, isn't there? There's things like TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, and various other things like that. And it's amazing, really, that we live in an age where you can put something on the internet and it's potentially visible by people all over the world. Doesn't that blow your mind? Even this sermon we put on the internet afterwards, and potentially people could watch it in Canada, in Australia, in South Africa, anywhere in the world. That's potentially billions of people. Now, I had a quick check to see how many people do actually watch my sermons. And it wasn't quite that many. I think I found that the most watched sermon came to about 250. So not quite the whole world, but the potential is there. And of course, we live in a world where a lot of people dream of being influencers. You heard that phrase? Those are people that create a big following on social media and have people listen or read what they're having to say or produce. And I wonder if you know who the top influencers are, who the top three influencers are in the world. I'm measuring that by those that have got the most followers across all the platforms. You want to guess the number one slot? Oh, you're being shy or confused. Elon Musk, good guess. No, he's not though. Okay, the first one, you'll recognize his name, hopefully. Cristiano Ronaldo. He's got 800 million followers across all the different platforms. That's a lot of people, isn't it? Interested in what he's got to say, apparently. And then number two, any guesses on that one? You've had a top footballer. Okay, the next one is Selena Gomez. She's got 580 million followers across all the platforms. For both those two, mostly it's Instagram, but still a lot of followers away. And you can see why. They're a famous footballer, one of the top footballers in the world in the last couple of decades, and Selena Gomez, one of the top singers in the world. Not like I name any of her songs. But anyone want to guess at number three? No one's guessed at number one or two yet. Number three is Mr. Beast. Anyone, hands up if you've heard of Mr. Beast. Some of you have. So now Mr. Beast isn't a famous sportsman. He isn't a famous singer. And actually, what he's done is he's worked out how to produce YouTube videos that people want to watch and keep watching. And I discovered this yesterday, because when I was trying to prepare this sermon, I started watching one of his videos and got stuck for half an hour. It sort of lures you in. It's a bit like Total Wipeout, that sort of thing, but sort of bigger and grander and more majestic and lots of things. But he's built up a following of 510 million people just on YouTube, which is incredible. And of course, to be a top influencer means to gain power to a certain extent, doesn't it? So people will pay these top influencers millions of pounds just to mention their products on their YouTube video or on their Instagram account or so on, so that people following them will buy their products because they have that much influence on you. And they even may be people that, because they're getting so much power and influence, can even dream about becoming president one day. So Mr. Beast has talked about becoming president maybe in 20 years' time. I don't think he'll call himself Mr. Beast, and maybe he will. I don't know. President Beast. Is that the right phrase or something? Influence means power, and you'd want to have a lot of influence, and people dream about having this kind of influence. But I wonder, for us that are being influenced by them, and maybe you don't go on the social media, but you do read papers or watch TV programs. We're all being influenced by all kinds of different people. But do we think about who is influencing us? Do we think about who's affecting our thinking, our speaking, and our actions? Do we choose them, or do we just sort of get lured in because they're more entertaining or more interesting or because everyone else is following them or because you're simply flicking through the internet and it just feeds you more and more people to look at? Are we concerned about who is influencing us? And I want to ask another question today, which is this. Is there a difference between being discipled or influenced? In our baptism earlier on, we said that phrase, fight valiantly as a disciple of Christ. As we baptized Albie and Pippa, we're praying that they become disciples of Christ. Is that the same as being influenced by Christ? What's the difference between being discipled and being influenced? And a related question is this. If the influencers of the day can use the internet to make such a big impact, how is it that Jesus has had such a big impact without the internet? Because I don't want to teach you basic history, but the internet wasn't around 2,000 years ago. Actually, if you're as old as me, you know it wasn't around even 50 years ago. How did Jesus do it? And actually, the passage we've had read to us in Matthew 28, when you think about it on human terms, Jesus is casting a vision here. He's saying to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, the whole world. When you think about that in human terms, that is the most outrageous and ridiculous thing to say. How could this 30-year-old man, with no money, no human authority, no army, no internet, with a few followers, 11 it says here, there probably were a few more that are interested, how can he say to them, go and make disciples of all nations? How could he reach the world in that way? It's ridiculous. It's impossible. And yet, if we're saying just simply that being baptized is like becoming a subscriber to Jesus, you know, when you follow an influencer on YouTube, you click subscribe, don't you? Or if you're following someone on Instagram, like it's friend or like or something. If baptism is like that, how many followers has Jesus got today? Well, across the world, there's 2.5 billion Christians. That blows Cristiano Ronaldo out of the water, doesn't it? Jesus has built up an incredible following across the world. Even though we feel in this country and in the West, the number of people following Jesus is in decline, internationally, it's still growing in places you wouldn't necessarily expect. How does Jesus do it? Well, I think the answer is that Jesus calls his followers not just to be influenced, but to be disciples. And becoming part of a disciple means not just to sort of spread a message on a network, but actually to become the network that the message is spread upon. So the disciples of Jesus in this passage are told to go and make disciples. And the idea is that those disciples will then go and make more disciples and make more disciples. So you're actually creating a network of people who will carry the message of Jesus and proclaim it and tell it to the people around them. And so more and more people become disciples of Christ. And that's what's happened over the last 2,000 years from culture to culture, generation to generation. And so now you have 2.5 billion Christians. This ridiculous vision of Jesus has come true. What does it mean to be a disciple? Three things in 5 minutes. Firstly, disciples recognize Jesus' authority. Disciples recognize Jesus' authority. So, if you look back at a passage, Jesus says to them there, it's quite an outrageous statement. The first thing he says is, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's a bold claim, isn't it? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In other words, God has appointed me to be the top boss everywhere. Now, for anyone else to say that, well, it's completely outrageous and arrogant. But this comes at the end of Matthew's gospel. And it's not good to just read the end of a book, is it? You need to read the whole book. So maybe actually, later on this afternoon, if you've got a quiet moment, read through Matthew's Gospel. It'll take you a few hours, but read about Jesus. Read what it has to say about him. He is the one that people have been expecting for hundreds of years that God had promised would come. Matthew shows how he fulfills that. He comes with teaching that is memorable, radical, powerful, impactful. He comes with power to heal and an incredible compassion that he will touch the people that no one else will touch, the lepers. He will hang out with those others despise. And he comes with a clarity of vision about himself that means that he's realized that his mission is to go and to die on the cross, to be a sacrifice for all humanity. And he goes towards that mission, even though his followers and disciples and friends have no idea what he's talking about, thinking he's completely crazy and mad to be doing this. And although it's going to be painful and horrible, he goes to his death, knowing that he's giving himself for the world. And then, incredibly, 3 days after he dies on the cross, he comes alive again, and he appears to his disciples, the 11. And when you realize that this is a story of Jesus at this point, this all happened over just a three-year period, it's no wonder that the disciples standing there meeting with him both want to worship him out of incredible awe that this person is so unique, so special, so amazing, but also it says they doubt. Is this really true? This is ridiculous. This is incredible. But you see, this is why Jesus can claim that he is the one who's been given authority over heaven and earth, over all things. Jesus is Lord. And to be a disciple of Christ is to realize how special and how important and how amazing Jesus is beyond anyone else that's ever lived. And so, although you might find yourself being influenced by different people on the internet, actually, the person you choose to want to be influenced by is Jesus. But more than that, to be his disciple. Because the next thing Jesus says to his disciples is that part of helping people to become disciples is to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. See, if Jesus is the one who has all authority in heaven and earth, if he is the one that loves us so much that he died for us, if he is the one that's conquered death in a way no one else has, then surely he is the person that we want to obey. I might read about Cristiano Ronaldo on Instagram and he might tell me I should buy Nike boots. I don't have to obey that. It's probably not a good idea, especially if I never play football. But when Jesus tells us hard truths, like love your enemy, then we need to listen to him because of who he is and because of what he's done. And for the disciples, their command was to go and make disciples of all nations, and they went off to do that. But that was tough. They started in Jerusalem, and the authorities in Jerusalem said, wait a minute, you're going around talking about this guy who we had crucified? And you're saying that he's now the God's special son? We don't want you to go around saying that. It's not going to make us look very good, is it? Shut up. And the disciples said, no, we won't shut up. And they said, okay, we'll lock you up. And they got locked up. But then they were released and they carried on. And then they were locked up again and they were beaten. But then they were released and they carried on. And then they started killing them. And yet still they carried on. Because they wanted to obey Jesus rather than human authorities. It was only because of their courage in obeying Jesus that the message about Jesus grew and that more and more people came to be disciples of Christ. Are we prepared to be disciples, not just influenced by Christ? Are we prepared to obey him no matter what, no matter how hard it is? So to be a disciple is to recognize the authority of Christ. To be a disciple is to obey his teaching. But thirdly, and this is really important, to be a disciple is to know Jesus' presence. Because Jesus doesn't finish the gospel with a command. He finishes with a promise. And he says to them, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. How is he with us? He's with us by his Holy Spirit. He's with us now. To be a Christian, to be a disciple of Christ, isn't to just follow the teaching of someone who lived 2,000 years ago. Is to have a living relationship with someone who is alive now and sits at the right hand of God. It's to be able to pray to him and speak to him and ask him for help in the difficult things of life. It's to be able to pray to him and say, look, Jesus, I'm struggling to obey you here, but help me to do so. It's to be equipped, encouraged, given the armor of God that we sang about earlier on. Jesus is with us now. To be a Christian is a hard calling. But it's possible. because Jesus is here. Just as the disciples were given an impossible mission, it was possible because Jesus went with them by his Spirit and enabled them to fulfill it. And so the question is, are you discipled or influenced? Do you choose who you let influence your life? Or you just get led by the nose by what's on TV or the papers or how YouTube or Google feed you information? Do you choose who you want to follow? And if you choose to follow Jesus, are you choosing just to be influenced by him? Have you got some nice ideas? I'll pick and choose what I like. Or are you going to be a true disciple? Are you going to recognize his authority, obey his teaching, and know that he's with you always to the very end of the age? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you call us to be your disciples. Well, we know that's not always easy, but we thank you that you are always with us. Help us to truly be your disciples, that we may live for you and make a difference for you in this world, as the disciples down the ages have done. In your name we pray. Amen.